All right, is this thing on? Let's go. Gotta fucking get the road on the show. Oh yeah, I have no fucking audio. Hold on. There we go. That's better. And I gotta turn this off.
Dumbass.
All right, progress. Put this back where it fucking goes, because nobody ever fucking puts anything back around here. Of course, nobody lives here but me, so I don't know what I'm expecting. I was expecting a wall, and I was expecting Hillary Clinton to go to prison, but apparently we don't get that. Do we, Trump and Fuhrer? No, because you're busy cucking out. Well, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for a motherfucking safe space and fuck yourself. Oh, you can shove your opinions up your ass. That way the cuckin' Fuhrer's cock has something to keep it coming. Don't forget, my friends and my enemies, bitches and bitchettes. The third most likely possibility, you are wrong and I am right. Go fuck yourselves. Good morning, children, and adults, and millennials. Have to have that third category, right? We have children, we have adults, and then we've got millennials. You are your own unique species, aren't you? It's a good thing you're gonna change the world, you're gonna fix all the problems, you're gonna solve all the things that all those stupid old people who came before you weren't able to fix, you know. Because those stupid old people who came before you gave you things like, I don't know, roads, automobiles, electricity, navigation, cell phones, computers, airplane. But, you know, they're all just stupid as fuck. You millennials, of course, well, You've studied alien cultures, and now you're going to give consultations on the internet about how aliens saved their planet from environmental destruction. Man, guys, that, whoever, well, we'll get back to it, but the last episode when I went down the rabbit hole on the internet, oh my God, that woman's website, if you want hours of entertainment, just go to that website, whatever the fuck it is. I don't remember the URL. Just go there. I could spend, I'm telling you, man, I could do hours of podcasting on what I saw right there. And some of you might be saying, well, maybe you could do hours of podcasting, but who the fuck are you? Well, I am the great one himself. I'm the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society. I have been on the internet since 1999, and I've been podcasting for 14 motherfucking years. Go fuck yourself. Speaking of podcasting, so I've been binging on The Dick Show, and I caught up on that, and now I'm listening to episodes of The Biggest Solution in the Universe. I'm binging through that, trying to get that done, which is the podcast. That was the bonus episodes for The Biggest Problem in the Universe with Dick Masterson and Maddox, and of course all the drama happened, they broke up and all this other stuff. And all I'm going for here is just listening to The Biggest Solution once again just pisses me off about the whole thing, because the biggest problem in the universe and the biggest solution in the universe is one of the funniest fucking things I have ever heard in my life. It is so goddamn funny. I mean, the Dick Show is funny. But I'm telling you guys, if you have not listened to The Biggest Problem in the Universe, and I think the brilliance of that podcast was, it's just these two guys sitting here essentially ripping on each other. It's just so goddamn funny. Oh my God, I'm listening to these episodes of The Biggest Solution. It's so fucking funny. It just pisses me off that Maddox had to go fucking batshit crazy and let his ego destroy something that was so fucking great. God damn, it's funny. It's funnier than this millennial bitch's website where she's going to do a phone consultation and teach you how the aliens on the other planet saved their planet from environmental destruction. That's pretty fucking funny, but that's not as funny as the biggest problem in the universe was. The other thing I want to jump in real quick with before we get back to the millennial's guide to changing the world. I picked up this book. I heard about this somewhere on the internet, picked it up, read it. It's called Make Time, How to Focus on What Matters Every Day by Jake Knapp and John Zaretsky. I'm probably mispronouncing his name. It's not a bad book. It's basically, it's a time management, how to get things done, yada, yada, yada. It's a nice, quick, easy read if you need some ideas about how to organize your life so that you can start accomplishing things. I can recommend it. Here's the main takeaway, though. Number one, and this is something that I've been doing for a while, none of this is really, none of this is groundbreaking original stuff. They just put it in a good package that's easy to understand and digest. Number one, have one big major goal for each day, right? Which I've been doing that for a while. I find it's very effective. If I sit there and say, okay, tomorrow my number one priority is this right here. I've got to get this done. And then the other big takeaway that they give you is eliminate distractions, one of which, of course, is the internet, and especially for you millennials and younger, is your cell phone. Yeah, it's like, turn your fucking cell phone off, and maybe you can get more work done. So there's a little bit more to it than that, and they give you a lot, some other ideas. But really, those are the two most important points. And I would say that to anyone out there, if you're having problems accomplishing things in your life, getting shit done, have one major goal for each day and turn off the fucking internet / cell phone. All right, anyhow, moving on. That goes over there. Where's my coffee? It's right here. Where's my water bottle? It's right there. Okay. Where's my ball sack? Right there. Where is Donald Trump's ball sack? Nobody can find it. It's gone. He lost that fucker. I don't know. Maybe he lost it in a boating accident. I don't know. All right. Let's get back to the millennial's guide. We're going to back up a little bit and pick up. We got to put all this in context. All right. Here we go. Hang on. Is this part of what I need to read or not? Oh, my God. See, it's just every page I look at. Oh my God. Oh my, oh, just, oh, oh God, all right, I have to read that now. I've got to stop looking into this book. All right, let's get going. Jesus fucking Christ Almighty. Oh, okay. Karen Gilligan, 33, calls her college experience a horror show. Today, she's a divine feminine life coach and thought leader, which basically means she posts a lot of long, smart, and vulnerable messages on Facebook to her audience of followers. Cheers to you, Kara. Wow, you post things on Facebook. You're amazing. Cheers to you. Who the fuck says cheers to you to anyone? All right. Her career path, once again, this is not a career. Okay, posting things on Facebook about how amazing you are because you have a vagina is not a career. Only to a millennial can posting things on Facebook be considered a career. Her career path was directly inspired by her time studying English, yet another problem, yet another red flag, at Dartmouth College, but not because of the academics. Kara witnessed firsthand the dark side of the Ivy League while dating a brother at Bones Gate, a cult-like fraternity where she was made privy to violent and secretive hazing practices. Oh, wait on. Halt, wait on. What the fuck is wait on? That's not even a phrase. Where is my fucking computer mouse? There it is. All right. Fraternities and sororities, or Greek life, because you have to explain that fraternities and sororities are Greek life to a millennial audience because they're not very smart. Cappy did a video, I was catching up on some of Cappy's videos. Cappy found a study somewhere, apparently something like, I forget the exact number, so I'm going to fuck it up, but some, like, one-third of millennials didn't know what Auschwitz was. I mean, how can you kids be this fucking dumb? And Cappy's pointing out, like, something along the lines of, how are these kids calling people Nazis when they don't even know what a Nazi fucking is? It's just like, Jesus Christ. All right, what is this? Bones Gate. Great one. You should have done this before you started recording. Yes, I know that. Thank you. Okay, so maybe it is an actual thing. I just wanted to see if it was even completely made up. So Bones Gate, there's actually a Bones Gate fraternity. History of Bones Gate fraternity. Why does your website have such tiny text? All right, so it's a real thing. Just, I was, you know... It's not that I would doubt something written in a book by a millennial writing a story about a millennial woman who is a, what the fuck is she? Divine feminine life coach and thought leader, right? It's not that I would doubt the word of any of these people. It's just that I didn't really believe that this was a real thing. At some colleges, your social network is entirely reliant on them. Certain frats and sororities are associated with different class statuses. It's all another way to categorize and rank people, keeping certain circles together and others outside. Right, kind of like, you know, gay pride is about categorizing and ranking people and keeping certain circles together and keeping others outside. Kara refers to what she saw in Bones Gate as black magic, ritualistic initiations embedding heartless belief systems into the psyches of young men, the mob mentality and brainwashing incorporated into Antifa and other leftist movements. Oh, no, that's not what it says. The mob mentality and brainwashing incorporated into the culture of Greek life became frightening. So again, this is a description of her emotions. She saw something and she was frightened by it. This is a description of her emotions. It's not a description of reality. Kara says Bones Gate had a rage cage where she would watch the brothers fight each other with weapons. So again, I find it hard to believe that millennial generation soy boys would do this, but okay. They would pour chemical lye on their arms to see who is tougher. That's not toughness, that's just stupid. They were forced to do heavy amounts of drinking and drugs. If someone was reaching their limit and couldn't partake any longer, he was called a pussy. The mascot of this elite frat was a ghost in the shape of a dick and balls. They called it the Thick Dick. Quote, the Thick Dick was everywhere. Scenes of the Thick Dick in hell were painted all over the walls. I was walking around with dicks and balls all around me, watching these brothers sadistically torture each other, smoke bongs, worship Christian Bale in American Psycho, and talk about how they were going to fuck up the world once they got to Wall Street. Let me tell you, this shit changes your perspective on reality. Unquote. Now remember, she chose to date this guy who was this evil satanic cult member, and she chose to walk around in this place with dick and balls all around her, and I'm sure she's read 50 Shades of Grey and thinks it's fantastic. Here's my predictions on this woman. If we could delve into her personality, okay, if we could delve into her past, she was raised by a single mother and she was sexually abused as a child. I think that's pretty obvious. Okay, if all of this stuff really bothers you, why would you keep dating this guy? Why would you be hanging out with all these people who are doing these drugs and fighting each other with knives or sticks or whatever the fuck it is in a cage? I mean, if you are so strong and independent the way you women's are, why didn't you just leave? Kara left Dartmouth highly traumatized and with a worthless degree in English. It doesn't say that, but it should. But she found a way to alchemize her negative experiences into the service she now gives back to society. Remember, we read from her webpage last episode. That's the service she's giving back to society. Bonesgate revealed to her how Greek culture trains male leaders to associate violence with power and desensitize themselves from their bodies as they bond. Yeah, we're the only ones who go to the gym and do anything to build muscle mass and lose weight. How are we desensitized from our bodies? You know who's desensitized from their bodies? A fucking fat woman who thinks she's healthy and beautiful. That's who's fucking desensitized from their bodies. As they bond with each other through shameful and humiliating acts committed in secret, writes a woman who likes 50 Shades of Grey, which is a book about a man committing shameful and humiliating acts on a woman in private. The projection just flows. There is so much projection here. The projection here is fucking reaching the Andromeda galaxy. That's how much goddamn projection there is here. Kara also realized that these are the men who, after college, are funneled into high power positions at corporations and financial firms. These practices and mindsets are part of what's seeding the current dysfunctional culture of patriarchy, which is robbing entire communities of their rights around the world. The current dysfunctional culture of patriarchy is robbing entire communities of their rights around the world, not just in the United States, around the world. Now, once again, she's not explained what a right is. She's not explaining where rights come from. She's not telling us what specific rights are being taken away, and she's not explaining how a community can have rights. These are just words. We're saying words to manipulate people's emotions. The patriarchy is taking rights away from communities around the world, and the great one didn't do vocal warm-ups, and his throat is dying. Hang on. After college, Kara went on a painstaking and time-consuming journey to make sense of what she witnessed. Bonesgate ultimately made her realize that it's imperative that we, the royal we, that we bring empathy, compassion, self-care, and intuition into the business sector. That's why she started her business, Waking Beauty, where she coaches men and women on how to create what she calls, quote, sacred wealth, unquote, by monetizing their mission and message in the world in a way that promotes humanity and personal balance. It's sacred wealth. Okay. Do I want to read this next? I kind of want to read this, but not. I'm going to skip this because there's better stuff. I just want to jump over here, though. The next section, it says this. In a dominator culture, some people will always have more resources than others, and some are considered high-performing in relation to the type of intelligence that culture deems profitable. I'm trying to parse this last part of this sentence. And some are considered higher performing in relation to the type of intelligence that culture deems profitable. Maybe. All I want to point out here is that she's saying in a dominator culture, because of course this is a culture of domination. Some people will always have more resources than others. I just fucking slurred that sentence into non-existence. Some people will always have more resources than others. Okay, yes, that's not because of a dominator culture or because of the patriarchy. The reason some people will always have more resources than others is because some people are lazy and some are not, and some are stupid and some are not. As I have explained before, and as would be proven true if we could ever do this experiment, if we took all the cash, every bit of cash in the United States, put in a giant pile and divvied it up and gave the exact same amount of money to each person, within 6 weeks, you would have rich people and you would have poor people. Because some people can't control their spending. Some people would invest the money. Okay, everybody would do something different. You don't have people with more resources than other people because of a dominator culture. You have people with more resources because people have different degrees of laziness and stupidity. I don't know, what's the opposite of laziness? I mean, you got stupidity, intelligence spectrum. You got a laziness, non-laziness spectrum. Man, I can't talk this morning. What else is new, right? Donald Trump promised you a wall. I promised you a podcast. Both of us are lying pieces of shit. All right, here we go. Now, I only read the first sentence on this, but I have to do this. Oh my God. All right, this looks good. Joanna Williams, 24, has a bachelor's degree in cinema and media studies from Carleton College. She got a bachelor's degree in watching YouTube videos. I wonder if Joanna has a job. Shall we find out what Joanna does for a living? I wonder if she's a divine feminine life coach or whatever the fuck it is. Let's find out. Oh, we are going to find out. Thank God. Now she works. Is she working or is she employed? Because those are different. Now she works as the Community Relations Coordinator. Of course she does. At Challenge Aspen, a nonprofit, of course it is, for, anybody want to take a guess? Anybody want to guess? The next word, anybody? Anybody? Put your money down. You ready? Disabled athletes. She got a bachelor's degree in watching YouTube videos so that she could be the community relations coordinator for a nonprofit for disabled athletes. Oh, bravo. You are so contributing to society, sweetheart. Thank you. thank you for doing so much to make the world a better place. I mean, this is certainly better than roads or refrigeration or telephones or electricity, you know, all those things created by all of those evil white men who are just filled with hatred and Satanism and racism. Joanna is a paraplegic herself who is bound to a wheelchair. She's bound to the wheelchair. Once again, that's some 50 Shades of Grey shit slipping in. Normal people, just they sit in the wheelchair. But no, see, Joanna is bound to the wheelchair because she is wishing some rich, sexy, muscular white guy would want her more than any other woman on the planet and want her so badly that he would take her to her his personal dungeon and like beat her with whips and stick things in her butt. But alas, no, she's just a loser millennial with a worthless diploma who works for a nonprofit. She was one of three people with a physical disability at her liberal arts school. Didn't we just earlier talk about creating circles to keep people out and keep other people in and all this other shit? What does it matter that... I was one of three people in my school with a disability. Okay, so what? I understand. Because you're using your physical disability to get sympathy and special treatment. I got it. Okay, now I'm up on it now. She was one of three people with a physical disability at her liberal arts school. We found the next part of the problem. And none of the campus housing or classrooms at Carleton were wheelchair accessible. Hold on, I thought college campuses were the nexus of political correctness, inclusion, and diversity. How could a college campus not have wheelchair ramps? I wonder who built those wheelchair ramps. Were the wheelchair ramps, are those being built by people who have bachelor's degrees in cinema and media studies and work for nonprofits? Oh no, they're being built by young, healthy white men. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. The young, healthy men who have real jobs, pouring concrete, building ramps. You know, things that are useful to handicapped people. So, she had to petition for her college to accommodate her special needs. Yeah, she got the special needs part right. Joanna says her biggest fear is not accomplishing anything with her life. Okay, well, your fear is going to be realized, sweetie, because you're not going to accomplish anything with your life. You work for a fucking nonprofit. You're going to accomplish nothing. Nonprofits, we don't want to go down. Nonprofits don't solve things because the nonprofit solves any problems, then the nonprofit doesn't need to exist anymore, and all the people who work at the nonprofit don't have jobs. Okay, you're not going to solve anything. No nonprofit has ever solved a fucking thing. It doesn't happen. It's not in their nature. It's not how they work. She may be disabled, but she's certainly done more than a lot of people I interviewed in her short life. It's all about having an internal locus of control. If you're an optimist and a go-getter, you'll be an optimist and a go-getter even in a wheelchair. You go, girl! Quote, just because I don't do things as perfectly physically doesn't mean what I do is less important. My best is enough, and it's better than not going for something at all, unquote, she says. No, what you do isn't less important because you're in a wheelchair. What you do is less important because you're dumb, you have a worthless degree, and you work for a nonprofit. Okay, it's not the wheelchair that makes you a dumb bitch. It's being a dumb bitch that makes you a dumb bitch. Once again, see, she's, the focus is on, I'm in a wheelchair, right? The focus is, I'm disabled. See, just because I'm not physically perfect doesn't mean I'm less important. No one's saying you're less important because you're in a wheelchair. Don't use the wheelchair as an excuse for your failure, which is exactly what she's doing. You're not a dumb bitch because you're in a wheelchair. You're a dumb bitch because you're a dumb bitch. Now, brace yourself for dumb bitchness. 4 her senior thesis. Anybody want to, let's pause. Go ahead and think, what do you think Joanna, with her bachelor's degree in cinema and media studies, and enough free time to protest the college to build wheelchair ramps, what do you think her senior thesis might have been? I'll give you a hint, it's a film. What do you think the subject of her film was? Just think about it, all right? Contemplate, yeah. Yeah, okay, so let's see. You're in a wheelchair, you're in a millennial, you're a woman, you're gonna change the world, your biggest fear is not accomplishing anything with your life, you're a go-getter, you have an internal locus of control, you're an optimist. Okay, so what are you going to create a film about for your senior thesis? I'm gonna drink some coffee, you think about that for a second. Okay, you got your answer? Here we go. For her senior thesis, Joanna created a documentary about disability and sexuality. The film covered everything from a quadriplegic who felt orgasms in his thumb to what it's like to grind on the dance floor with someone in a wheelchair. You know, there might be a reason why you're afraid of not accomplishing anything with your life. The reason might be because you're not going to accomplish anything with your life. College provided her with the right environment to do some me search. That's me hyphen search. Me search. A nurturing setting where she could explore the world. Okay, you can't explore the world in college. The college is this fucking gated community of groupthink where no dissenting opinions are allowed and everything is provided for you and you're coddled. You cannot explore the world in college. That is the most nonsensical shit I've ever fucking heard in my life. Oh, it even goes on to say that. College provided her with the right environment to do some me search, a nurturing setting where she could explore the world and her capabilities while her material needs were met. Okay, if somebody else is meeting your material needs, you're not doing a lot of exploring. Think about that for a second, okay? You can't really... And for women, we all know women find themselves, men create themselves. You can't really do a lot of exploring in a cushy setting where nobody disagrees with you and all of your material needs are provided for by someone else. Okay, that's not how the Buddha stumbled upon Buddhism. By sitting in his palace, having all of his needs provided for. It was when he went forth into the world and encountered suffering and suffered himself. That was when he arrived at the fucking 4 tenets of Buddhism and the Eightfold Noble Path. He didn't get that sitting around surrounded by groupthink with people kissing his ass and providing for his material needs. Ansley Connell, 28, is a jackass of all trades, a very millennial occupation indeed. Oh, let's find out what... All right, here we go. Typical. She's a Zumba teacher and a talented seamstress who makes stylish, form-flattering dresses for plus sized women. I was about to say for fat women, and that's exactly what she does. She makes clothing for fat women. You go, girl! She also works odd jobs and sings in a band. Typical millennial. She teaches Zumba. And she makes clothes for fat girls. And she works at Starbucks. And she's in a band. Oh, the millennials are going to change the world. Ans Lee says, quote, I hated high school. The classes were easy for her. I hated high school, Ans Lee says. The classes were easy for her. Of course, sure they were. But she says she was an outcast. Okay, did you have purple hair? Did you have a bunch of piercings in your face? How many tattoos did you have? I was about to say, are you fat? Well, we're about to find out. Quote, I felt very, out of place and misunderstood. I had a whole lot of body image issues. In other words, she was fat. I was also a creative in the middle of a school filled with non-creatives and people who had no ambition to realize their potential. See, even when she was in high school, she was so much better than everyone else around her. That's why she makes clothes for fat girls, because she's so much better than the rest of us. Even in high school, she was better than the rest of us. Everybody around her in high school was just this conformist moron. But she was better than that. And that's why she votes Democrat and she supports Antifa. Because, well, she's not a conformist. She's not a conformist at all. Her quote continues, I felt very alone. I can't figure out why no one wanted to be friends with the fat girl who thinks she's better than everyone else. I'm baffled by this. I'm baffled. Why would high school students not want to be friends with the fat girl who thinks she's better than they are? Who thinks she's smarter and more creative than they are? Gosh, how could she feel alone in high school? I'm baffled. You fucking millennials, you can't figure this out, can you? You are so full of yourselves. Okay, it's like me. I understand perfectly why people would not want to be friends with me. I would never sit there and go, I don't understand why this person over doesn't want to be friends with me. I'm an asshole. I'm obnoxious. I'm territorial. If I put some effort into it, I could come up with more, but I could create a pretty good list of why perfectly normal, rational, intelligent people would not want to be friends with me. But this stupid bitch has no idea why she's alone in high school. After telling us how much better than everybody else in high school she is, because they're all not creative like her. Well, she's a creative genius. The classes were easy for her because she was so smart. Oh my God. I'm so much better than you other losers. Why do I feel alone? I guess I need a fur baby. Oh, God. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. God, I love other people's misery. This just fills me with joy. Oh, the joy is flowing through my... See, there's another reason people wouldn't want to be friends with me. Someone say, great one. I don't want to be friends with you because you genuinely feel joy when you see other people being miserable. You are a piece of shit. I can't really argue with that. I'm not sitting there and go, you're wrong. Yeah, all right, you don't want to be friends with me. I kind of might not want to be friends with me either if I was not me. Totally acceptable. Totally understandable. Makes complete fucking sense to someone who doesn't view the entire world through a lens of their own fucking emotions and needs. Okay, let me get back to the dumb bitch here. All right, This is her quote, continuing. I felt very alone. I had this constant feeling of wanting something better and wondering how to achieve that. I felt so different and apart from everyone else. Because you were so different from every other 16-year-old kid at your school. You were just so vastly unique and different. You know, the rest of us went to high school also. I went to high school. I was not different and unique from the other kids in high school, okay? That's not how reality works. You just think you're a snowflake. Her quote continues, it was really hard to go to the same environment every day, never being fully known or seen, unquote. Which is, this is fascinating. Because what does feminism tell women is the pinnacle achievement of their lives? A career. And what, in most cases, is a career? A career is working in the HR department for some giant corporation. And when you have a 9-to-5 corporation job, what do? Well, you go into the same environment every single day, and you're never being fully known or seen. You're a cog in the wheel for some giant corporation sitting there responding to emails and putting paper in files. All right. Ansley was diagnosed with polycystic ovarian syndrome and insulin resistance when she was 13 years old. The conditions come... No, I don't have sympathy for you. I mean, it is what it is. But once again, no, everyone's disabled. Everyone's got all these either mental problems or physical problems. Are there any millennials who are mentally and physically healthy? Any of you? I'm yoga pants girl. She's like, I have carpal tunnel. She's telling me she has carpal tunnel syndrome in her hands. And she's got bad knees. Like her. I'm like, how? You're 19 years old. How can you be this physically unhealthy? How? I am over twice her age. And I mean, occasionally, sure, it's not like I'm sitting here saying my knee never has pain. You guys have been around, you know I have bad knees from the military, from all the marching and carrying the gear and stuff. And once in a while, my knee will kick in and I have some pain. But I mean, my God, I stand all day. I walk around. I run. I lift weights. I climb ladders. I mean, how can you 19-year-old kids be this goddamn unhealthy? And you millennial, what the fuck? Have you people ever eaten some real food and done some exercise? Fucking Christ. Thanks to Obamacare, I have to pay for all this shit. The conditions come with a host of side effects. Oh, God. All right, give me a minute. The rationalization and the excuses will now begin. Okay. Polycystic ovarian syndrome and insulin resistance. The conditions come with a host of side effects, such as excessive weight gain, mood imbalance, and unwanted facial hair. No, sweetheart, you have excessive weight gain because you eat too much fucking shitty food and you won't lift weights. You have mood imbalance because you're just a fucking mentally unstable snowflake who can't cope with the world, and you have unwanted facial hair because you're a man-jawed thunder cunt with too much goddamn testosterone and you don't know how to use some wax to pull the goddamn mustache off your upper lip. No, those things are not caused by your goddamn diseases. Those things are caused by your laziness. She says she feels like a freak, not because of her personality, but because of her body. Whoa, what happened to full at any size? Things became better for Ansley. Wait, and she teaches Zumba? So she's fat, but she teaches Zumba. Okay, well, obviously your Zumba's not working, right? When you see fat people on the Stairmaster, that tells you the Stairmaster's not working. If you see, you go to your Zumba class and your Zumba class is taught by a fat person, why would you go back? If the person who's teaching you Zumba, if the Zumba doesn't help that person lose weight, why would it help you lose weight? I mean, I've taken yoga classes. If I ever walked into a yoga class and my yoga instructor was overweight, I would leave. Every yoga class I've taken was taught by a thin, hot chick. Because I was hoping yoga would turn me into a thin, hot chick and that I could just stay home all day touching myself. Which is exactly what I would do. I would. If I woke up one morning and I was a girl, I would never leave the house again. die of stuff. You know, like in Korea, where you got the people, I don't know if it's really happened or not, but where people, you hear about people died of starvation because they were playing so much video game they didn't eat. That would be me. If I woke up when I was a girl, I would starve to death. You'd find me dead touching myself. All right, anyway, this has nothing to do with millennials. This is just me tangenting. Things became better for Ansley once she lost weight. Oh, no, just kidding. No, it doesn't say that. No. Things became better for Ansley once she was able to leave her hometown of Statesboro, Georgia, to attend Berry College. See, things became better when she went to college. To attend Berry College to study. Oh God. Alright, let's take a wild guess what she's studying. Let's see, she's overweight, she has health problems, she has mood swings, she has hair on her face. Alright, so what do you think she's gonna go study? What do you think she's gonna do? Ding 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 ding. Alright, you ready? Here we go. To attend Berry College to study photography and visual communication. Ansley says one of her top needs in life is acceptance. Well, of course it is, because she's a woman and women are herd animals. Women cannot stand not being accepted. That's why women go on Instagram and attention whore. Because they need external validation. This is why women don't invent electricity. Because women are focused on external validation. Okay? You can't be focused on external validation and do great things like come up with electricity. In order to do great things, you have to not give a shit about what the common stupid people around you think. And that doesn't mean when you're in high school thinking you're better than everybody else without having actually done anything to back that up, right? Steve Jobs, piece of shit in many, many ways. I think he's a piece of shit, okay? There's plenty of reasons Steve Jobs is a piece of shit. We read the book where his employees came up with ideas and he took credit for them. Somebody somewhere I was listening to pointed out that Steve Jobs has a whole lot of patents on things that Apple created, but none of those patents have only his name on them. Every patent has the name of other people because it's the other people who did most of the work. So Steve Jobs, total piece of shit, took credit for other people's ideas. Didn't really wake up in the morning, however, looking for external validation. He wanted to get shit done. He wanted to accomplish things. He wanted to be rich. He wanted to be famous. He wanted to change the way people listen to music or use their phones or whatever. He had a fucking mission, a drive. You can hate the man personally. You can disagree with his goals. But he was not walking around looking for external validation. Now, he got a lot of it because of his accomplishments. But that was not his driving force. With women, the reason you girls, once again, the reason you make less money than men is because your driving need in life is to be accepted by other people, is to get external validation. You can't fucking create the goddamn iPhone if all you're doing is walking around looking for external validation on Instagram. It's not gonna work out for you, sweetie. It's not gonna fucking work out. Anne's Lee says one of her top needs in life is acceptance. College became a place where she finally found herself accepted and liked. She finally got the external validation she needed. She made good connections within a few months. Quote, I found that sense of belonging, unquote. Ansley and Joanna's stories bring up the topic of ableism. Well, there's an interesting shift that I didn't see coming. Ansley and Joanna's stories bring up the topic of ableism, which could be an entire chapter itself. What do you mean it could be or it is? So it could be, but you were too lazy to write that chapter? Not everyone is going to be able to perform at the same capacity. Well, that's true. That's why men make more money than women. But it doesn't mean they don't have gifts to contribute. College ideally should help foster this kind of empowerment. For some people, it does. But is higher education for all people? Wait. But is higher education for all people all of the time? Question mark. Is it always worth the price tag? Not always. I agree with those three sentences. Don't get duped into thinking that a college degree can solve all your problems or guarantee you your dream job. And suddenly we're making sense. Design your own path to education, to learning a trade, or to creating something that will contribute to others. Yeah, it's called creating value for other people. I've been explaining this for years, and I'm a patriarchal asshole. We are living in a time when it's safe to deconstruct linear pathways if it will bring your best self forward to take real action in the world. Once again, if any of you people were taking real action in the world, you wouldn't have this many problems. Okay? All right, anyway, yeah, there's going to be a part four because I still got two more sections I want to read out of this book, and then I've got to put this down and walk away from it. Done.